Atheist Nomads, episode 185, news for February 9, 2017.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And Lauren.
Hooray!
Harumph!
Harumph!
We're recording this a day late, and that means I have very little time after we get done recording to get this done if I want to go get some sleep. So,
True.
Minimal editing. If I don't mark it, I'm not editing it. So, listeners, this will be fun.
Yay!
Yes.
Bear with us.
So,
this will be great.
I do have a plan that's kind of brewing in my head for future Dustin Off the Degree segments. Digging into, like, compare and contrast between different eschatological viewpoints across Christendom.
What does that mean?
You said scat.
That means the end of days. So the various versions of the apocalypse. So get the secret rapture, the Mormon ideas, the Catholic versions, the mainstream Protestant version of it, the Adventist version, cover all those in details. And also, of course, you have to have the whose way of preparing is crazier, Adventist or Mormon? Because they both do it.
Or evangelical. They take over the governments and then just flush that down the toilet.
Oh, no, it's take over the government so that they can bolster Israel so they can rebuild the temple and go sacrifice a heifer.
Poor heifer.
And start Armageddon. But they
Heifer's
have to have the armies
name is Daisy.
Already.
It might be. And they are really, actually, you know, there are a couple crazy people up in, like, Michigan trying to raise a perfectly red heifer.
Now, but this is all stuff that I'm planning on for the future. But this week, that's not what I want to talk
about.
This week, so in nearly 5 years of doing this podcast, we have tried to keep our news coverage. Yeah. We have tried to keep our news coverage focused on stories relating to terrible things done by organized religion and its leaders and discriminatory actions of governments in the name of religion. We have covered science and anti-science bullshit. We have covered broader humanistic concerns relating to the rights of the LGBT community, women, and ethnic minorities. But we have generally limited that when it hasn't been clearly religiously motivated, even if we haven't specifically spelled out the religion angle, such as gay marriage, all of the arguments against it were religious. We didn't keep repeating that was the argument that was happening, because that would have been redundant. But we did continue to talk about the fight that was happening. From what we have seen so far from the Trump administration, we have seen science, gay rights, women's rights, and minority religions coming under attack. And these are all things that we would normally cover. But as much as all this is horrible, attacks against the press, the rule of law, checks and balances, and erosion of democracy are far more concerning to me. The analogy I want to use is that with an invading army, should you still defend the small villages that raiding parties are going after, or keep all of your forces focused on the massive army that is marching towards the capital?
He's been watching Marco Polo, so Mongols. He's thinking about Mongols.
Okay, I was kind of wondering where that was coming from. All right.
When the Mongols are heading towards your capital, yes, do you fight the hordes that are attacking the villages, or do you wait for the mass
so
coming
the horde
your
to
capital?
Surround you?
That's kind of what I'm seeing with this. Our normal concerns, yes, those are all still there. There is theocratic bullshit going on. There is separation of church and state issues all over the place. Women and gay rights are under attack. Science is under attack.
Just education in general is under attack.
Of course, at what point do you just jump ship?
That's not the question I'm wanting to talk about.
That's a sad, sad, hopeless.
I think we definitely need to fight. We already covered that 2 weeks ago. It's, do we keep talking about these issues to make sure that somebody is? Or do we focus on the overarching loss of democracy?
I think there's room for both.
I didn't go to school, law school, so I don't know much about that stuff. But I do know what affects me personally, such as erosion of science education in public schools and governors proclaiming that Christians have priority over Muslims and so on and so forth. So I'll stick with that because it's what I know.
I'd say there's room for skirmishes and main battles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say just when something big happens, of course you're going to want to discuss it. You want to clarify your position on it, but you can't forget the little fights too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We'll talk about the Cheeto in the room, but you know, there's lots of shit that we would still cover anyways. And now, should.
Okay, so if we stick with the analogy, the invading Mongol horde analogy. If you abandon, and the Mongol horde is actually a very poor example because they destroyed everyone who opposed them. I was thinking of a much more conventional fight, like European armies fighting against each other in the Middle Ages. If you don't defend the villages, then if you do defeat the invading army, the villagers will rise up and kill you.
Because they're the first up against the wall. True.
For example, if white men only focus on attacks on the rule of law, checks and balances in the press, they will lose all credibility with minorities, women.
Yeah, it's true.
The LGBT community.
You know, I hear that stupid people saying, you know, people, some people get upset if you are protesting for like women's rights. So like, why aren't you supporting the rights of black people or these animals or this or that? And well, you can do more than one thing.
Right. If you're pro refugee, then that means you're anti vet. No, like, there's room for both.
If you're pro refugee, why aren't you out? You know, why are you just pro-refugee? Why don't you get out there and support women's rights or this or that? I'm like, well, you can do more than one thing.
Well, some people can do more than one thing. Others have limited time. And so they pick one issue that they care about. Even though they care about more issues, they pick one to focus on. Because if everybody just focused on women's rights only, then there would be no opposition on any attacks on the rights of Muslims, blacks, gays. It would all just be all the focus is on women's rights.
And that's okay for, you know, if
people
that's
don't
your focus,
have the energy or the mental awesome. Capacity to be involved in all the wrongdoings. You'd burn out. You'd move to the Netherlands.
They wouldn't take us.
Those of us who have a passion about certain things, such as secularism, need to fight for that because not everybody else in the population has the time or energy to do so.
Yeah.
And women's rights and black rights and etc.
And if everybody focused on one, nobody would then be focusing on the others and those would all lose. And they are all important. So we need people focusing on different people focusing on each one.
Yeah, well, split up your forces so that they're evenly attacking the, I don't know, I lost the analogy.
So that you're fighting the invading force on all fronts.
Yeah, that's
we need to make sure that we lose as little ground as possible.
I am all for the all fronts.
All quiet on the Western Front.
No, it's not right now. No. So the big question with this is, are we still relevant?
Yeah.
Is what we do still relevant?
I think so.
I know so. Because you get feedback that says you are. And even if it's just one person every 6 months, that's still one person.
All right.
Hint, we need more feedback, hint.
Yeah, come on. I love Elf, but you know, I'm sure there's more people out there. So yeah. I love you, Elf. Thank you.
And he doesn't send us feedback so much as newspaper clippings.
Well, hey.
That's actually helpful.
It is actually really cool getting newspaper clippings from Bangkok.
Yeah. Fucking Bangkok. Yeah.
And yeah, that is really cool. It's just, it's kind of
funny. I'd rather have a vacation there, but, you know, articles are cool too.
But it is funny getting newspaper clippings from a foreign land.
It is pretty cool.
Hey, if we fly over there, can we stay at your place, man? What do you say?
I think he's already agreed to that in my mind. He has. Therefore, definitely. Just need the money.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we've got lots of news. This Holy time, shit. I've got it categorized into angry,
grr,
funny, good, and science.
Yay!
Which science you could also just put in under good news. All right, so break.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
All right, we're going to start out the angry news with three updates on stories that we have already discussed to some degree. First off, despite all the calls, emails, and tireless efforts of Senate Democrats, only two Republicans crossed party lines in opposition of Betsy DeVos and her confirmation. And Vice President Pence actually cast the tie-breaking vote confirming her appointment to Secretary of Education.
Yeah, that son of a bitch sent out a White House letter. I got it in my email saying that Pence broke the tie. That was not cool.
Like, at your work email?
No. Whitehouse.gov sent out an email. You know, I was used to the ones from Obama occasionally. And that was a cold smack to the face with a frozen trout of fucking Pence. Yeah, that was great.
A frozen trout would literally knock you out. How about a wet trout?
Yeah, the whole vice president breaking ties in the Senate.
What he's there for, right?
It is. It's really his only job.
And so it's everybody's who has... Well,
until somebody kills Trump, yeah.
Well, yeah. But like Idaho, those guys remained on the fence the whole time up to... I mean, we knew that they were going to vote with the Republican Party.
Nobody considered them on the fence. They claimed to be on the fence.
Okay, they claimed to be on the fence.
Everybody knew they weren't. They were already bought.
They didn't get $50,000.
They both got money.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, just Christian wait. Crapo? I mean, they'll probably get donations and thanks, you know, in 4 years.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody...
A couple years, actually.
It was something like 47 of the Senate Republicans had all gotten somewhere in the tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations recently from the DeVos family.
Yeah.
Well, I believe it was Bernie Sanders that called her out for her and her family donating somewhere north of $200 million to various campaigns over the years.
Yep. And they're just fine with that.
Well, of course they're fine with it. They got the money.
Yeah.
You're not going to say no to one of your biggest donors.
No.
You need that money continue to come in. Because, let's face it, Congress does not make laws. They raise money for re-election. Lobbyists write the laws and then give these senators and representatives campaign contributions. I'm doing air quotes, which don't work on a podcast.
Serious air quotes, people.
They give them campaign Visual contributions medium. To go along with the bill that then gets submitted with that senator or representative's name on it.
Yeah. Podcasts are a serious visual medium. Sometimes the legislators, the senators, whoever introduce these bills, you know, more air quotes, don't even change the name of the lobbyist group on the heading of the bill. It's great.
It's really lazy legislation.
They don't have
time. At least
time.
Pretend it's your fucking idea.
They don't have time to legislate because they're all being forced to spend all of their time fundraising.
Yeah. that's why I'm totally in favor of getting money out of politics.
Yeah.
And term limits.
Look. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our Idaho bad boys is trying to bring that up. We'll see how far he gets.
Yeah, but I didn't write to Senator Risch or Rich or douchebag. You did?
I did.
Oh.
I did, and I got a reply saying thank you for sharing your opinion.
Oh, I wrote to...
It will be considered.
I wrote to Crapo, and he said that he was holding off on making a decision because he was going to be reviewing her qualifications for the position and listening to the voices of the constituents.
Wait, is his name really Crapo?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mike Crapo.
And
C-R-A-P-O, pronounced Crapo, usually.
Crapo. Yeah.
I'll go with Crapo. All right. So you know, who's the next one?
For our Idaho politicians, you've got Butch Otter. The lieutenant governor is Little. We've got, there's somebody else with a funny name in the state government. And then our senators are Rich and Crapo. we have great names for politicians. Okay, so up next... we previously reported that Jerry Falwell Jr. had been offered Secretary of Education, or was possibly going to be offered it, and that may have actually been true. He's now...
We were hoping it was a lie, yeah. But it was true.
He's saying that he turned it down, but was offered it, but he's now been appointed to a task force designed to deregulate higher education.
The fuck?
Now, before we get onto that, it's actually kind of sad that Falwell didn't take up the offer to take the education department, because at least he has experience in education.
Versus?
Well,
our Secretary of Education.
What? I mean, that's with what? Liberty University?
Purdue?
No, it's like Liberty or Patriot. It's one of the two bad ones. Pretty sure.
Liberty.
Okay.
Yeah, he's president of Liberty University.
I mean, that doesn't count for much, but that's still like light years ahead of DeVos.
Yeah.
I've been singing the Cruella DeVille song stuck in my head, but with DeVos instead, and it works.
It really, at least, you know, at least Falwell has seen a school.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
even a half-assed one.
This whole, this task force he's being put in charge of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming that the president has set up to deregulate
higher education.
Okay. So this must be like because something really bad happened.
Well, Obama was trying to force colleges and universities to be inclusive of trans people and treat them with dignity and let them use bathrooms.
Bastards.
It's a curse.
So I'm sure they're going to try to get rid of all of that. They'll probably try and get rid of, what is it, Title IX rules that require equal sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though that one gets skirted all the time. Like at Walla Walla, there was all the official girls teams and an equal number of official boys teams. And then there were club teams for men's soccer and men's hockey, and I think baseball. So there were more men's teams than women's teams. It's just only some were official.
Exactly. Well, man.
So Title IX
is a burning building.
It's
a tire fire is what this is.
Title IX is a portion of the United States Education Amendments of 1972. Basically, in part, no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance.
Yeah.
So, sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Now, but we're in a state of not reasonable.
So, fortunately... Removing those rules, at least the strictest version of them, would require an act of Congress.
Well, they got the numbers.
I think that's one that Democrats would actually
They're just dumb enough to do it. And the Democrats haven't really been showing a good face. Yeah, sorry, Democrats.
Yeah,
because it gets worse. Just found out that Jeff Sessions got confirmed as Trump's attorney general.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Tire so fire.
That one just came out a few minutes ago, I guess.
Well, and what was especially fun with that one was Elizabeth Warren started reading Mrs. King's letter to the Senate. Uh-huh.
That's from like 1986, and that shit's still perfectly relevant.
And she got booted from the Senate chambers and prohibited from speaking.
Yeah, because she was essentially bad-mouthing Jeff Sessions.
Yep.
Which, yeah, I call
Isn't that the whole point of
one.
A confirmation hearing is to listen to the stuff and then listen to the bad stuff? And
The words she was speaking were from Coretta Scott King. So who gives a fuck?
Well, the
And then just later, after Elizabeth was booted, that letter got read anyways by another Democrat.
A male.
By men.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody tried to stop them.
Yeah, so fuck.
Yeah, you don't shut down Elizabeth Warren.
So I see several issues with this. One, they shut up a woman and let men say the same thing.
Yo.
That is fucked up.
Yo.
Two, not allowing you to badmouth the person whose confirmation is being considered.
You might hurt their feelings.
Is insane. How can you have a meaningful confirmation hearing if you can't say bad things about the person?
Well, that big-eared fuck Tom Cotton sure likes to badmouth people when they're, you know, having his turn. That was a few months back. He was talking shit himself.
Oh, man.
And
this whole rule that they can't badmouth each other? It is in the Constitution that senators can judge their own members, including removing them from the Senate, which how can they do that if they can't badmouth each other?
Because
you're going to have to say something mean about someone to be able to try to get them removed from the chambers.
I do not agree with this good person over here, my esteemed colleague who is full of shit.
Who is a steaming pile of...
Yeah, good one, good.
Ah, fuck. Okay, so this is an update that's on still in the angry section, but it's actually a happy one.
Okay.
Federal Judge James Robart, a George W. Bush appointee out of Seattle, granted an injunction against Trump's travel ban in response to a lawsuit brought by the states of Washington and Minnesota.
Hooray.
And at this time, everything has returned to how it was before Trump's executive order, and this includes allowing refugees who have visas to enter the U.S.
Such as sick babies.
Yeah.
Who is doing well at an Oregon hospital, apparently.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Yeah, and Trump has went out of his way to talk so much shit about that judge, and saying that... you know, bad people are going to pour into our country and that's bad. And, you know, it's on the judge's head if something happens.
And what gives this judge the right? Oh, I don't know. The Constitution.
Yeah. There are three independent.
Three branches of government.
Three independent and equal branches. For a good reason. Like the judiciary was explicitly created to make sure that presidents don't become dictators. And that Congress doesn't just start beating up on minorities.
I did get the smallest glimmer of nice feelings for the probably Supreme Court justice to be, what was his name? Gorsuch?
Yeah.
He actually came out and said that Trump's remarks about our Seattle judge called them disheartening and demoralizing.
Hmm.
So, I mean, for a judge that hasn't been appointed yet, I mean, that's pretty strong language.
Okay.
It's about as strong as you're going to get without, you know, getting kicked off the Senate floor.
But I should also point out that U.S. District Judge James Robart, the judge from Seattle that, you know, stopped all this shit, is actually a George W. Bush appointee.
Yeah,
yeah, he's fairly conservative, isn't he?
Did you? Okay. Yep. So, yeah, he is definitely conservative, I would think. So, yeah.
Realistically, okay, a Bush appointee, realistically, he's probably somewhere between middle right to far right. But unless you're insanely far right. Well, heck, Trump's not even far right. He's far off fascist. In crazy land. Yeah.
Which is not necessarily hard right.
No.
Yeah, Trump. No, Trump's fucking scattergun. He's a fucking shotgun on the chart.
But yeah, this is good to see. Definitely good to see.
What was disheartening was, yeah, Trump's reaction. The fact that he took to Twitter and threw a tantrum. Oh, like everything he does. His Twitter account has become a joke.
Oh, he also had a tantrum about Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, he did? What did he say?
Woman.
She's a loser.
No, I don't remember what the details of that were, but
she's a disaster.
She's got a vagina. She's a loser. It's bad. Vagina bad.
So, yeah, this has gone to the appeals court, and this is the Ninth Circuit. Everybody knows how the Ninth Circuit is going to decide.
Oh, Guam. They're on the Ninth Circuit, too.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So are we.
I know. I just felt like doing a shout out to Guam.
All right. So, Wesley. What would Jesus think about this Muslim ban?
Well, apparently Jesus would be in favor of it. I think Jesus would actually, want to get rid of all of these horrible, horrible interlopers.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Off of Brian Fisher, our lovely friend, he wants to build that high wall and keep those bad, Reed Brown people out.
Hombres. And
during the show, Fisher's, I guess, producer/buddy, Jeff Reed, says, "I don't want this to sound sacrilegious, but isn't Jesus or God the Father doing some extreme vetting on who he's allowing to spend eternity with him and who's not?" So,
wow.
Extreme vetting, just like Trump is. Because
we're God.
Yeah.
That is some incredible stretching.
Extreme vetting. Yeah.
Stretch Armstrong stretching.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're vetting people at extreme just to keep them out of our country because obviously they're bad.
All people are bad.
Wow.
Because, oh my God.
I'm so sure that in all reality the Jesus character that we see in the Bible would probably graciously welcome and encourage the welcoming of refugees. Because they need help.
I thought there was a specific Bible verses that say exactly that.
Old Testament, there's some verses about...
Nobody pays attention to the Old Testament.
Treat the... be kind to the foreigner within your gates.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as he or she is not Muslim.
There were no Muslims then.
Muhammad is crazy.
But there were no Muslims then.
Will be.
And even if you look at the Old Testament one, those foreigners would be expected to be pagan.
Ooh, that's even worse. Fuck. Throw forward. Pagan.
Did you say bacon?
I said throw forward. Pagan.
Oh, I thought you said bacon. You got me all excited over nothing. Okay, fine.
All right.
Pagan bacon.
The mayor of Rienzi, Mississippi, removed the Christian flag that the city had flying over Veterans Memorial Park after FFRF threatened a lawsuit.
Those fucking evil FFRF people.
Reportedly a lawsuit for $500,000. And this lasted until 100 people took part in a rally supporting the flag. So the mayor raised it back up. And I expect FFRF's lawsuit will be filed almost as quickly.
100 people.
Hooray. The town only has 300 residents.
Jesus.
Well, that's a sizable amount of the town. All right.
Realistically, if 100 people show up to a rally in a town of 300, I'd be surprised if more than 25 actually live in the town.
As mayor, I would be fear for my life.
Well, okay, so FFF is going to sue and, you know, they're going to win and that town is going to go bankrupt. All right.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and the lawyers will win.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what side you're on.
By the look of the pictures from the rally, it looks like the makers of the Christian flags are also winning because people were carrying so many of them.
What is a Christian flag?
On the bottom of the flag? If you look at the tag on the bottom of the flag, they all say made in China.
So this is a flag that a Christian pastor in, I think, Virginia designed in the 1890s for some, like, teen proto-scouting type organization or something like that.
Oh.
And then it's been adopted broadly since.
What does it look like?
There is a white banner, and in the upper left-hand corner, it's blue with a red cross on it.
Hmm.
Okay. Now you know what to look for, people who have eyes and ears.
If you see a red cross in that small of a portion of a flag, you know it's not European. Because their crosses on their flags cover the whole thing.
I did not know that.
Nobody's compensating for anything with their size of their crosses, huh?
Mm. Okay. For another... we're still on angry. Yeah. A recent poll found that 32% of Americans believe that being a Christian is necessary to really be an American.
Boo!
This compares with 15% of Europeans and Canadians and 13% of Australians with similar views.
Right. So what you're saying is 68% of the people aren't assholes.
Yay!
Yay.
I like that.
Yeah.
Glass half full kind of thing.
But 32% of Americans think that we aren't really American.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's the 32% of Americans that shop at Walmart. Wait, I shop at Walmart. Fuck.
Ah. No, those are the ones that are say it's okay to do a test to during the extreme vetting.
Extreme!
Now, what's funny is that's the same number of people who think that you have to be born in the U.S. to really be American.
Hmm. Ah. So...
Why bother having a test?
Facts.
Or maybe it's that 32% of Americans are just bigoted assholes.
Yeah.
And what's sad is at least half of those don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. But that's actually kind of encouraging.
Hmm.
Okay, 32% of Americans is bigoted assholes. That is a terrifying number. But like you brought up, 68% aren't.
That's still like 100 million people or some shit. That's a lot of fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, okay, angry / scary.
Yay.
Oh, man.
All right. So, I should have put this one up earlier, but Lauren, what did our lovely governor, Butch Otter, have to say?
Well, our governor, who is governor of a state that accepts a lot of refugees, went ahead and said that he thought Christian refugees should be given priority.
Hmm.
Okay, oh. So backlash. People were mad. He's doubled down on it. He says that it's just a preference. That is, I guess, not discrimination. It's just preference, which the United States has always done. So the way he sees it is that Christians are marginalized and terrorized and murdered in these Muslim countries, and so they should be given priority over just the regular Muslims who are showing up. The problem with that, though, is that all refugees are basically there to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what religion they are.
So what he's missing is, yes, there have always been preferences in immigration policies, and most of the time those have been bullshit and racist.
Exactly. There's always been preferences. That doesn't mean that there always should be.
Like in the 1800s, if you were white, you would have preference on immigration over somebody who was brown. And if you spoke English, you would have preference over somebody who didn't. Now, it's more along the lines of, if you have a career that we need, you get preference. So if you're a software engineer or a doctor or a nurse or an engineer in general, welcome, welcome. If you're anybody else, fuck you.
If you're a teacher, who gives a fuck? We don't pay our teachers anything anyway.
But so refugees have always been different. These are people who, if they stay in their country, have reasonable expectation of being dead or losing everything.
Yeah, well, I've heard a lot of GOP rumors that, you know, Muslims are by far the people that are getting refugeed into the U.S., that are getting accepted. And that's just not true. I mean, it's fairly 50-50-ish between Christian and non-Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So it's not like there's a giant gap of, you know, oh, we're not letting in any Christians. No, that's pretty much bullshit.
Yeah, and it's just sad that he doubled down on it. Is mm-hmm. When they called him out on it, he said he admitted that he should not have answered the question and instead said, quote, "I think it's not discriminatory. I think it's preference. I'm okay with religious preference." It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I know where to put you on the pedestal of hatred.
And one of the things that's so asinine about these bans like this is the countries that are on the list are ones that are in the middle of civil wars or damn near close to it or have very oppressive totalitarian regimes. Of course, those are countries with major security concerns. If they weren't, people wouldn't need asylum from them.
Yeah.
That's how things work. You don't need asylum if nobody's trying to kill you.
Yeah, well, asylum from this insanity.
Let's take another break, and then we have some funny news.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
I was kind of going for an Agent Smith kind of thing with that.
Oh, okay.
So you know what I was going with.
So,
Mr.
Alex
Anderson.
Alex Jones did of InfoWars, crazy conspiracy theorist nutbag. He went to Facebook with a live stream shortly before he did his coverage of the Super Bowl, or at least his program while the Super Bowl was going on. And while watching this, the comments on the Facebook video were hilarious.
Mm.
Normally you see comments and it's infuriating. No, this one was about how much of an idiot he is. Oh, they were glorious. But anyway, he was very, very concerned about her performance. And I had to trim this way, way down because there was lots of absolute insanity. But he included in it a lengthy description of how sports are all about controlling people, about how Bush Sr. was going to be doing the coin toss, and he created the New World Order. And here
Bush
is...
Bush Sr.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, after the fall of the Soviet Union, which happened during Bush Sr.'s time, he created the New World Order.
Oh.
And yeah. So let's start with the crazy way that he described Lady Gaga. And yes, I did trim this one for the sake of brevity.
But now we hear about Lady Gaga, who admittedly was part of the whole Pizzagate situation with the spirit cooking lady, the Aleister Crowley events. She admits she has someone sleep in her room with her at night because she believes a demon's going to attack.
Sure.
Believable.
Okay, Pizzagate. Yeah, child sex ring going on in the basement of a pizzeria being run by Hillary Clinton when Clinton had no involvement with the pizzeria and it didn't even have a basement. But a right-wing radical showed up with a machine gun.
Yeah, showed up to save the children's.
And got talked down.
The spirit cooking bit?
Okay. I don't even fucking know.
I'm clueless.
It's like he's speaking English, but the words don't make sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's word vomit.
And Whether or not she needs someone to sleep in her room with her because she's afraid that demons are going to come and get her is irrelevant, because either that's a lie, which I'm leaning towards, or it's mental illness. Either way, you don't... That's not good grounds to...
Either way, fucking demons someone. Aren't real.
And yeah.
Putting that one out there.
Just saying.
So, I'm sorry. Is it just me, or does Alex Jones look like a 50-year-old Charlie Brown?
Wah, 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 wah.
All right, so then after this, he went into his whole history of sports as a element of controlling the masses.
It is.
And then he got to what he thinks Lady Gaga was going to be doing with her halftime show. And oh, yeah. I also had to trim this for brevity.
And she's reportedly going to be on top of the Super Bowl, ruling over everyone with drones everywhere, surveilling them in a big swarm. To just condition them that I am the goddess of Satan, ruling over you with the rise of the robots in a ritual of lesser magic. They have to tell you what they're planning in the future. So they're saying, the rise of the machines is here, you are broken, you are fallen, and I squat on top of you and basically piss all over you.
Oh, whoa. You know, some people pay good money for that sort of thing.
I've heard Trump pays good money for yeah. that sort of thing.
Wow, I don't even know where to start with that one.
Let's start with the fact that he thinks it's some kind of satanic ritual.
Okay.
So, hail Satan.
Or drones equal magic.
Drones equal lesser magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I watched... Okay, so satanic ritual. I watched it. We had the volume down. We had like 12 people over... There was lots of talking. It was noisy, so we kept the TV quiet. So I didn't really hear any of the performance, but I saw it, and it was... She was singing. And the only offensive thing I saw with it was when she spiked the microphone.
Yeah, he has a
Don't
thing about...
Don't fucking hurt a mic. Yeah. These things are expensive and delicate.
We did make fun of the fact that she looked like a robotic football player, and I think that was kind of the point.
It's kind of fucking the Super Bowl.
Cross between a football player and a like Viking warrior.
Okay.
It was an interesting, a little bit of Mad Max. It was an interesting costume.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, okay. But not satanic. I would not say it was satanic at all.
Meredith watched her and just, you know, watched the video of that performance and said it was good. And I while she was watching, I listened to the music. It was a good medley. I am in favor.
All right. So the drones, these were provided by and sponsored by Intel, and they provided for a very interesting light show.
Hmm.
That's all the drones did. Light show.
They didn't
robot masters
take over anybody's soul or anything.
Okay. So now
they're just conditioning us for it when it comes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They didn't actually do anything. They're just conditioning us to fear them.
Because our robot overlords are rising. The rise of the machines.
And peeing on us?
With magic? No, we're not getting onto the peeing yet. So rise of the machines and magic. Do you need the magic or do you need the technology? Because you don't need both.
Dude.
I mean, it depends on what role-playing system
totally
you're using.
Relevant.
What was that, Wesley?
Like if it depends on the role-playing system you're using. If like you're using the TRS.
Oh, true. So, there's GIMP.
You could actually have like techno mages. So
pretty cool.
It'd be kind of a cross between technology and magic.
I mean, not to get too technical.
Yeah. So look into riffs.
Well, and of course, cool system. He chose the term Rise of the Machines.
Very Terminator.
Terminator.
Yeah. He does steal a lot of movie themes.
And if you want to hear more about Terminator, go back to Sci-Fi Nomads Episode 3. SciFiNomads.com/3. But, oh man, this is weird.
Well, it's mentally ill.
Yeah, okay, yeah. and then she was pissing on us.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Well,
she started at the top of the arena and then floated lots of down wires. With yeah. A lot of wires.
Kind of Peter Pan-esque.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just good performance.
You know what? If she was streaming while she was like wire working down, I think somebody would have caught that shit on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking 4K high def bullshit. There would
and
have, yeah.
And the FCC would have levied a fine. We know they watch for malfunctions going on during Super Bowl halftime shows.
They're
and they
wishing
do fine.
For it. They're hoping for it.
Yeah. Oh, they're government censors. They need something to do.
Yeah, they're fucking bored.
Poor government censors.
Come on. I mean, like, Janet Jackson flashed like half a nipple and the fucking internet lit up.
The days when the internet was young.
And I mean, half the population was still on dial-up.
Oh, come on. Really? Was it that long ago? So that was like maybe 5-6 years ago.
That was 2004.
Was it? Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I was in college.
That was 12 years ago.
I missed it because I was getting pizza.
You didn't miss much. It was just a little nip slip.
All right. So, Wesley. What's Obama up to now that he's out of office?
Well, it depends on who you ask. You know, he could be down on a little island with his family, staying with Richard Branson and learning how to like kite sail or some shit. Or he
looking
could
kite sail or take over the world.
He could be on the phone talking to all the groups of Satanists around the U.S. trying to, you know, kill or just usurp Trump. Yeah. So
I'm okay with that.
You know, I would have, I'm pretty sure I would have gotten the memo if this was happening. I'm just putting that out there.
Maybe the wrong kind of Satanist.
That's the great thing about Satanists, though, is they're very inclusive.
Half of one, you know. Okay, so, yeah. This is coming from the weird and wild mind of your friend and mine, Rick Wiles. Rick says, we are witnessing a full-blown Marxist communist resistance movement, a revolution in America. The chief banker funding the Purple Revolution is billionaire George Soros, of course, surprise. And the chief community organizer directing the insurrection in the streets is none other than that, Barack Hussein Obama. My gut feeling says Barack Obama is on the phone day and night. He is directing the protests. He is organizing. He is giving clear instructions to the people what to do and how to carry it out.
Huh.
Wow.
Holy shit.
What a fantasy world.
I mean, they took our guns, you know, from fucking everything that Obama was supposed to do and, you know, never got around to it. And now he's still the fucking boogie-oogie man. Come on, guys.
Let the man kite
surf. Fucking break.
Yeah, and yeah, if only we had that organized resistance movement.
I mean, seriously, he's on fucking he's somewhere down in the Gulf of Mexico staying with fucking Richard Branson, you know, the guy with the giant hair that wants to make airplanes in outer space, Virgin, you know, all that shit.
The guy who's obsessed with virgins.
Yeah, sure.
With all of his virgin companies.
Yeah, and who's not Muslim but still obsessed with virgins, Holy shit, just let the dude have a breath. Man, what the
fuck? No breath for you.
Holy shit, Rick Wiles, get a fucking life, man. Get a real job. Man.
Well, let's talk about a sane nun.
Ooh.
This is a Argentinian nun in Spain who has been getting death threats since she suggested that Mary and Joseph probably had sex.
What?
She said, I think Mary was in love with Joseph, and they were a normal couple, and having sex is a normal thing. It's hard to believe, and hard to take in. We've ended up with the rules we've invented without getting the true message. I think the church has had a poor attitude to it for a long time and has swept it a bit under the carpet. It wasn't a taboo subject. It was more something that was considered dirty or hidden. It was the denial of what I believe to be a blessing.
So, as I recall, isn't Jesus, like, doesn't he have an older brother, at least?
In the story in the Bible, he has brothers. It but, doesn't say anything about their age. It just talks about Mary and Jesus's brothers, or Jesus's mother and brothers showing up.
I always thought that he had like a, I never understood Jesus to be the oldest.
So there is, as far as what's in the story, the only reference to him having brothers is that, and James, the brother of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all that's in the Bible. Mm. Everything else is Catholic tradition that Jesus's brothers must have been Joseph's from an earlier marriage.
Well, all I'm saying is that, you know, if you're back in those kind of days and you got a wife, you're probably getting some, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always kind of been my thought that, you know, Mary just, you know, got knocked up on the side. You know, she had her own little piece on the side and she was enjoying something, and, you know, got pregnant by accident. And she was like, look, God did it. So,
well, of course, I go more with just the approach of anybody who's even trying to come up with alternative explanations is giving the story way too much credibility.
Yeah, but yeah, I still like the idea of Mary having a piece on the side.
One one version of it I've heard is that she was raped by Roman soldiers, which would have put her in very, very much trouble with the Jews in her community. So she went with, it's God.
God did it.
Yeah.
Obviously, God did it.
But what's so, like, okay, I put this in funny, which, no, there's actually nothing funny about this. A nun actually said something reasonable. And gets death threats for it.
Reason. What's the reaction? The death threats are what's funny.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to think of Mary as the virgin. So
it's Catholic dogma.
She's virgin forever. Ah!
And the biggest problem, and this is, you know, like Catholics have a like doctrine of dogma. That it is sacred and it is important and it is what matters. But dogma is like, that's the thing I have the most problem with, whether it's Catholic dogma or anybody else's. It's saying this is true because it is true. No, that is bullshit. Well, it's only true if there is evidence that it is true.
Straight and, from the lips of Kevin Smith, dogma is dog shit.
Yeah.
Look that YouTube video up. You'll find it, guys.
All right. And Lauren, you've got...
This is hilarious. Okay, what is funnier than a judge who believes that if he could have his way, the internet would be gone?
And all social media, sure.
Eliminate the internet completely. Well, this judge has decided to take his wrath down on a young man who was convicted of statutory rape. And
of a 14-year-old girl.
Yes. Yeah. He's got a history of 30. He's admitted to a history of 34 partners. And so the judge has ordered him to remain celibate until marriage. I just want to know, is this his son or something? Because there's no way he's going to be able to watch that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, it is Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yes.
And so, that son of a bitch is doing some serious fucking victim blaming here.
Well, okay, so
it's obviously her fault because she was on the internet.
Let's start with the, at the time he was 18 or 19.
19, yeah.
Depending on when his birthday was. Now. No, he's 20 now, and this happened in 2015. The girl was 14. So... Okay, yes, that is most definitely rape. Blaming it on social media? Yeah, that's probably how they met.
It's the darn internets.
But that's irrelevant?
The internet is for porn.
this white guy is getting away from a 15-year prison sentence. You know, yes, her did plead guilty to one felony count of rape, but by his own admission, the judge said Herrera had 34 sexual encounters with separate individuals while still in his teens, and his attitude was, well, I'm going to use young children for sexual gratification.
So they finally asked him, okay, how are they going to check for compliance? And he decided that he's going to test the no sex rule with polygraphs.
Yeah.
That the probation officer is going to ask him, have you done this, this, or this? And depending on those answers, then he may end up back in jail.
Even though polygraphs aren't admissible in court.
Tell that to the judge.
I mean, this isn't like a consensual underage rape. This is, you know, the dude snuck into her bedroom to supposedly watch a movie with her, but he can't. Fondling her, she told him to stop. He then raped her without a condom. I mean, there's nothing cutesy about what he did.
No, he
belongs in jail.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
Oh, and then he goes off on an old man tirade. Our society has come to the point of I don't even know how to explain it. You know, I'm 66 years of age, which isn't that old.
Well, I'm quitting.
When I was 19 years of age, the sexual proclivities of young people wasn't anything like I see today.
Well, and if he is so out of touch with the world today, he needs to retire.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean, if you're so much of a fucking potato farmer that, you know, you didn't see people until you're, you know, into your teens, then fuck off and get out of being a judge.
Now,
you don't know what people are.
One thing that is kind of sad is, if he does actually make this a requirement of probation, it would actually just be telling him to follow Idaho state law. Because in Idaho law, sex before marriage is illegal.
Sure.
Also, anything other than penis and vagina sex is illegal.
Pornification is still on the books.
It is completely unenforceable, but it's on the books.
Sure.
It's hilarious. Polygraph so, test. Jesus.
One thing I definitely see as a concerning thing here is that if the judge does go through with this and just gives him probation with the no fornicating rule, he will appeal it.
And walk away with no punishment.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's what the judge set up.
This was supposed to be funny.
It was funny when before you guys got all serious and started reading it.
I saw this story before you put it into the notes here. The judge even noticed Herrera's level of remorse and noted that the young man's proclivities, he has a taste for pornography and an astounding number of partners and fantasies of sex with a 13-year-old girl. So, yeah, I mean, this dude is fucking trolling for young girls, and yeah, he's still gonna be out. Yay.
Oh, and Wesley, your article is nowhere near as good as the one that Lauren had.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. He was 18 at the time. The sentence actually has been handed down. That was last week.
Yeah.
5 to 15 years suspended in favor of rehabilitation.
Right.
And probation.
But he's freaking 19. Why not give him a second chance at life? I don't know. What he did was terrible, but
no.
When you're young, you tend to do stupid shit like that.
18-year-old rapes a 14-year-old. 18-year-old needs to go to jail.
For the rest of his life, though?
For the rest of his life, but...
No, he should get his fucking 5, 10, 15 years in jail.
Okay, yeah.
It needs to be something. If we're going to be... Okay, here's one of the things that gets me the most is if you're going to throw people in jail for 15 years for possession of marijuana, but they get off in 6 months for rape, fucked up world do we live in?
Brock Turner. Brock Turner. 6 month sentence, and that got put down, didn't it? I mean, all you got to do is
say white college rape
into Google, and you get stupid amounts of white guys that get let off all the time for raping women. No, no. He needs to go to fucking jail. He needs to go to fucking real man's jail.
Well, he's going to appeal it probably, so we'll see what happens. We'll give updates.
Yeah, so if we get any. All right, let's take our final break, and then we have some good news.
Okay.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
All right, I'm going to read a bit from the press release from Rebecca Friedman of the Humanists of Washington.
Yay!
Humanists of Washington celebrates a ceremonial proclamation from Governor Jay Inslee declaring February 12, 2017, Darwin Day in Washington State.
Hooray!
Yay! The proclamation request was submitted by Rebecca Friedman on behalf of Humanists of Washington as part of the nationwide effort spearheaded by the American Humanist Association and the Secular Coalition for America. And, yeah, it was accepted.
I should also say, friend of the show, Rebecca Friedman, and wife of Sam, and you know, co-host of Ask an Atheist.
Yeah, we had Rebecca. Becky was on quite a bit for the Streamathon.
She did great. Oh my gosh,
we still haven't actually had Becky on for an actual episode. Although I would love to.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's make it happen next week.
I also do have had this fun idea for a while of an episode where it's Lauren, Meredith, and Becky.
So many vagina jokes. Oh my god.
Just the women. Yeah.
Just the women folk. And then of course you'll get somebody calling in saying, well, what about the men?
Well, that's every other fucking episode.
What they don't understand.
And based on the lack of misogynist bullshit we've gotten since you've been on the show, I can confidently say we have better listeners than everybody else. You guys are awesome and not misogynist assholes.
Yay!
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being awesome.
They could see these titties.
Wait, they'd be misogynist assholes if they did?
I don't know. I would sway them with my womanly wiles.
Oh. Okay. So, what about science, Lauren?
Science. All right. Science this week has had some really exciting stuff. One, though, it's kind of sad. The beloved 100-year-old lungfish, which was the oldest known zoo/aquarium fish, has died at the Shedd Aquarium. They have had this fish for over 80 years.
Wow.
This little dude has been a witness to a marriage and has seen entire generations grow up in front of him. And people have been looking forward to seeing this lungfish their entire lives. And unfortunately, he has passed away to the watery ether. So, you know, that's too bad. And I feel bad for the people at Shedd Aquarium who basically lost a friend.
Lungfish are so cool. They're lobe-finned fish, which there aren't many of those left, and a close relative of tetrapods.
Mm. Yeah, and way back in the 1930s, they wanted something new to the aquarium, so they got an Australian lungfish. Mm-hmm. And,
And looking at this guy, you can definitely see the similarities. The wide horizontal mouth, the kind of flat face with the eyes looks...
It looks like almost, an old axolotl.
Yeah, looks kind of salamander-like. And the four fins that almost look kind of like they want to be legs.
Yeah, they kind of want to be. They kind of. His name was Granddad. He was awesome.
It looks more like a salamander than a...
fish.
Was it ray fin fish?
Yeah.
But that makes sense since it is far more closely related to salamanders than the ray fin fish.
Yeah. Cool. And the aquarium president and CEO Bridget Coughlin said in a statement, "For a fish who spent much of his time imitating a fallen log, he sparked curiosity, excitement, and wonder among all guests of all ages who would hear his story and learn about the incredible biology that makes his species a living fossil and one of the oldest living vertebrate genera on the planet.
Oh, nice.
Good job, little dude. All right, so that's science one. Sad, but
yeah,
kind of, you know, heartening too.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, we have some good news here for our male listeners. A promising male contraceptive gel has worked in rhesus monkeys in testing for over a year. So
we talked about this gel goo stuff, haven't we?
This must be a different mm-hmm. one. It's called I don't remember what it's called.
Vagicel.
Yeah, but it's a different one, different product, similar to the other one.
Yeah, right. The one we talked about before was in India.
Yeah.
And it was actually in human trials and was a silicone plug. This is not silicone.
This is a gel.
It's like a plasticky gel.
Kept rhesus monkeys from propagating for over a year, so that's very promising.
So, because some of the interesting things, unless you want to go into more detail on it.
No, that's...
Some of the interesting things with it is...
You want to mansplain it now?
No.
No, I'm joking. I just snorted. That's awesome.
This is... It allows some sperm to pass through, so it minimizes the risk of some of the back pressure that can cause some discomfort for people after vasectomies. They have found with these monkeys that, it was effective. They'd previously done a study with rabbits where it was found to be effective and reversible after doing a flush, and they were able to dissolve it and flush it out. They are hoping to move to human trials very soon.
Yeah,
I think that might be slightly premature.
It's a headline kind of thing. These guys are pushing these contraceptives as much as they can. They have to get people excited for them, otherwise they'll die. No, they won't actually die. Sorry, that's not what I meant. No. I meant the study.
Yes.
Jeez, awkward. No, we don't kill scientists for failing to come up with good studies.
And this won't save any men's life. It will help prevent some lives from happening.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
But I think it's a little bit premature because there's a few things that are in there that I think need a bit more review, like... When they did this with monkeys, they followed up with vasectomies after a year. So they're just wanting to see if it would work, but there was no interest in trying to reverse it. They had done that with the rabbits, but it's really awesome doing those studies with primates because primate physiology is a lot closer to us since we are primates. So a lot better than a rabbit. So... Definitely cool. They found that it had a lot fewer complications than vasectomies. So that's definitely cool. It seemed a bit odd that they weren't able to release them back into the normal habitat for a week. That seems like an awfully long recovery for a non-surgical procedure.
That is something.
But if it works, that's cool. What they said about trying to move it to humans is that the initial studies would be just looking at, is it effective at preventing pregnancy? And then the second phase would be, is it reversible?
Yeah.
Which means...
They haven't tested the reversibility of it.
Well, they did in rabbits.
In rabbits, yeah, but...
What seems interesting with that is you'd then have to be recruiting a pool of people who don't want kids...
But might?
But won't freak out if they have one?
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for news. We do have a new iTunes review from Java Weasel.
Aw, Weasel!
Fuck yeah.
5 stars. Well done, everybody. I look forward to every episode. Being from northwestern Nevada, I find the Idaho-centric points very welcome and close to home.
Represent.
The laid-back style is very enjoyable. I lift a pint of homebrew to the atheist nomads. Cheers.
We should rock hound together.
Hear, hear. Yeah. And yeah, we've driven through northern Nevada a few times. Lauren and I together, north-south, and I've also done the full east-west. Nevada, yeah, not bad.
That should be a shirt. Nevada, not bad.
Sorry.
No, that was great.
I definitely would love to do some camping in northwestern Nevada.
Yeah, there's some good camping spots out there.
Well, when we've driven through, we've seen all those places, like right around just below McDermott, where everything
all those
is
mountains, mountain range.
It's all like all of a sudden, like you cross the state line and everything's different. You're in Oregon 1 minute, and then you're in Nevada, and it's like, oh wow, this is so much cooler.
This is definitely leading towards some place where people get high and party for days on end out in the dunes.
And it'd be a fun place to explore. And I also do want to get back to Zenio, since that was a crappy night, but the locals took good care of me, and I want to see if my dollar bill is still up at the bar.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
I like places like that.
Yeah. And we are way, way over, and I still need to edit tonight. So.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
Thank you both for joining.
Yay.
Listeners, thank you for listening. Remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.